Pope Francis, when he inaugurated the year of St. Joseph, which we are currently in, encouraged everyone to spend time with the Our Father. Namely, he gave a special indulgence for anyone who meditates on the Our Father for half an hour. And for that reason, I want to spend the next few weeks focusing on the Our Father, wandering through its seven petitions, looking at its spiritual depth, and the way that it cultivates in us a way of understanding God and moving forward in our lives. And so this week, I want to focus on two parts of it: Who art in heaven, and Thy kingdom come. Things we don't tend to focus a lot on, but are very important elements. And so to start out with, we are going to start with Who art in heaven, which is attributed to God, who is in heaven. Now the challenge is, how do we understand heaven? What does it look like? What images do we have? A lot of times when we think of heaven, we think of it like a place, where if I just sail far enough or fly to the right location, or if I get a starship and head out into the universe, I will find it. And then I can storm the gates of heaven and enter on my own accord. It doesn't work like that. Those of you who are laughing at me know what I mean. Heaven is a place, but it's also a status, a reality, in that those who are in heaven are so united with God that they are in the place of being fully united with God, a state of the soul, which makes it hard for us, because it's hard for us to picture a place that's not a place. And yet, heaven is so close to us that it's here present with us now, yet so beyond our imagination that we can't figure out what to do with it. Where is it? Almost beyond us. The nice thing for us, though, is that heaven isn't beyond our senses. Every time we celebrate the Mass, heaven and earth connect. They join for a little while as we join with the heavenly banquet, as we realize that God is here present with us and we're wandering into the mystery of who He is. So in this way, heaven beyond our imagination helps us to realize what we're looking for, that we're looking for a place that's not a place. We're looking for a place where God dwells, a place where everyone is fully united with Him, and everything is as it ought to be, a land of peace and justice. In the same vein, we like to picture heaven as the great party in the sky, where when we get there, we'll have all the food and drink in abundance, and we'll have all the wonderful things we once did. It'll be just a grand party. Well, that focuses a lot on us. We're really good at making heaven about us. It's what I want, how I want things to be, the way I want justice to be. That's not true. Heaven is about God. Exclusively about God. Heaven is where we encounter Him fully, where His rules predominate, where He is the one who is the core, center, the everything of everything of heaven. And for that reason, we have to keep everything squarely on Him. It's not about us, about what we want. Hopefully, when we get there, we'll realize that the greatest joy we can have is to serve our God. The greatest wonderment is to ponder all the many things He's done throughout history. This is the joy of heaven. So when we start out the Our Father who art in heaven, it gives us a chance to reflect on the mystery of heaven. Who is this God who is in this reality called heaven? Who is this God who is beyond our imagination, but yet so close to us as to make Himself present at all times? What is this place to which all of our dead relatives have gone, and yet we still feel connected to them? This is heaven. As I bridge between heaven and the kingdom of God, I want to use the analogies we have in today's readings that are great and apt. They have wonderful images tied to them to help us understand what the kingdom of God is like. In our first reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, we have the little shoot that is placed high on a mountain, becoming this giant tree to which all the nations of the world know that God made that tree. That's our first image. The second comes from our gospel. We have this tiny little seed reminding us that the kingdom of God is always present in small little ways. Yet that little tiny seed becomes this great bush, which I always laugh at this because for them it was a great bush. For us, we're like, I know things that are a lot bigger than that bush. It's only about this tall. It's a tiny little bush. Anyways, it becomes a great bush to which all the birds of the sky can dwell in its branches. The birds become an analogy for all the kingdoms of the world, that in this one bush, all the kingdoms, all the peoples can find a place of rest. They rest in its shade. It can never be overcome by the numbers. This always has more place. So all these analogies start to help our minds to ponder the mystery of God's kingdom. Now the challenge for us is The kingdom of God isn't already, but not yet. When Jesus came, the kingdom of God became. He inaugurated the kingdom of God, but yet we're not there yet. We're wandering along in this life, waiting for it to come. But in the same vein, the kingdom of God is not something we just pray and hope for. It's something we also have to cultivate in our lives as well. The reign of God is this time in which God's laws predominate. God becomes the center point of all things. Everything in society, everything in the world, everything in the universe is centered on the following of God's laws, leading to peace and justice, the focus on God himself, leading to everyone finally being united. As Isaiah says in his prophetic book, "There will be no harm or ruin on all my holy mountain, for here the lion will lay down with the calf, and the child will put his hand on the adder's lair, where there will be no harm or ruin, no sickness, no disease. This is the reign of God." Now, for us who pray for the coming of God's kingdom, we must start with ourselves. We're not just praying for this fictitious reality that we're hoping to make happen. The reign of God has to happen within us as well. We must cultivate in our own lives a sense of God's presence, the reality that God must be the king of our lives too, the sovereign ruler of everything we do. And we also must cultivate in our lives a sense of his justice. His rules must predominate in our lives, so that if we're going to usher in the reign of God's kingdom, each and every one of us must start with ourselves. God's kingdom must begin with me. And then once I have gotten to that point, then I work with my friends and family, the people I'm close to, helping them to cultivate in their lives a sense of God's justice, his laws, his ways, that in their lives too, God may be the all in all. They may cultivate their lives on God's laws. Doesn't stop there though. We need to make it happen in our society as well, that we as Christians, as Catholic people, are working with our society at large, with the government, the laws, the people, to enact laws that are just and right, to make God become the forerunner, the most important person, that everything fits under his domain. Doesn't stop there. We got a whole universe to make God's kingdom out of, that eventually it would work into the entirety of the cosmos, that God will be the all-in-all, the sovereign ruler, the one whose laws truly do reign, because only then will true peace and justice predominate. Only then can we live in unity with one another, because we're united with our one God. This is what it means to have the reign of God. It starts with something small, ourselves, and grows into something to which everything fits within its domain. So when we say to ourselves, or we pray the Our Father, "Thy kingdom come," this is what we're praying for. We're praying for God to be the sovereign ruler. We're praying for his laws to predominate. We're praying for unity, peace, and justice. We're praying it for ourselves, for our world, for everyone, so that eventually, when everything is finally summed up in God, who will make everything new again at the end of time, it can truly be the one reign of God, the one kingdom, all united in the one heaven with the one God.